The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On this Labor Day weekend, I attempt to express gratitude to God and people around me for, first of all, people who work so hard, often unseen or unnoticed. I think of people in janitorial services that all of us just think the dust and the dirt just magically disappears. We never see them do that hard work, and we're grateful for such thankless tasks. I also think of those folks who work in restaurants and the food industry, where the hours are really difficult and day after day dealing with customers that may be a bit entitled or demanding or thankless. I also am thankful on Labor Day weekend for those professionals that have abilities and competencies that I will never have. I'm so grateful for their gifts, right? I mean, IT specialists, no idea what you do. Thank you. Interior decorators, I don't got it. Thank you for that. I especially think of folks who work in the medical field. I am so grateful you can specialize in the human body to assist us with our health. I was just on a Zoom call this weekend with a marriage prep couple, and the groom is in med school right now, and he's just went through a rotation in pediatric cardiology. So, I mean, this idea of even being a surgeon on this tiny little heart and helping the rest of the body through heart surgery just fascinates me, and I know so many people are being saved by their great work. I also love that imagery of a pediatric cardiologist, because of all the things that I love to meditate upon with regards to how we relate to Christ, he is my Savior, he is my Redeemer, he is the Good Shepherd, he is the light in the darkness, but he is the divine physician. And it's odd for me to actually bring up this idea of being a divine physician as one of Jesus' professional roles in his public ministry and for all eternity, because it doesn't seem like there's a healing. It might make more sense to talk about Jesus as a divine physician when he's healing a paralytic, right? Or the man with a hand that's wounded, or sight being restored to someone who's blind. But I would argue that a more important healing is taking place in our gospel today than a physical healing, because the Lord wanted to go beyond the externals and the physical. And maybe that's nowhere more clear than the gospel today. There's another, it seems like there's plenty, interaction between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees today. And I think it's important, first of all, to know what they're doing wrong. Because oftentimes with Jesus, the Pharisees are getting something wrong. They're almost like a gospel version of a punching bag. They just keep getting slammed and slammed. But today they're calling out Jesus' disciples because they're approaching a meal without washing their hands. And this is not merely an interest in their hygiene habits. It's because the rubrics that the Jews have imposed upon all people were precise and detailed. The scribes and the Pharisees taught that everyone needed to wash his or her hands in two directions with 1.5 eggshells of clean water, first from the fingertips down and then with the fingertips at the bottom, drying the other hand with the outside of a closed hand. This was a religious practice they obsessed about, and they had forgotten the purpose for which they had commanded such precision. So Jesus calls them hypocrites, essentially telling them that they have worried about the outside practices without getting to the heart. This is not a new theme for Jesus, but it's coming to a head. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about going beyond external observances. He talks about, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. But I tell you, anyone who harbors anger in their heart has committed a murder in their heart. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But those who lust after another in their heart has already committed adultery in his heart. So that's a key insight for us to see. He has not come to just prune the externals or heal a hangnail. He has come to do a heart transplant. And the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the religious leaders, who are supposed to, in some ways, facilitate the transformation of one's heart, are actually preventing it by having people focus on the hangnails. The problem is they're unrepentant, and they're trying to attempt to let everybody else know how righteous they are. Elsewhere, he's even more brutal with the Pharisees. He says, do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. All their works are performed to be seen. They love places of honors. He speaks to them and says, woe to you, you hypocrites. You lock the kingdom of heaven before human beings. You do not even enter yourselves, but you don't allow others to even trying to enter. He goes on and talks about how they worry about the precise language of promises and swearing of oaths. In the end, they've worried about everything except the heart. But I want to pause here and say, yes, Jesus has come to do heart surgery on not just the Pharisees and scribes, but each one of us. But there's also, will ever be a temptation to say, is Jesus telling us that laws aren't matter? Don't matter. The externals are to be ignored. And we can't say that either. Because he says in the Sermon on the Mount, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. He's telling us the law is a gift from the Lord. All the commands, the Ten Commandments especially, but all of those things guiding human conduct and relationship to God and others, it's all a gift. But it's not the end, it's a means to the end. All of the practices of our Catholic faith, all of them, there's a ton of them. All of them were unbelievable, only insofar as you see them as a means to an end. So for example, if I am only interested in checking boxes, I will never let the heart be transformed. Should I get rid of all the boxes? No, let them have their full effect. That the Mass here, attending Mass, that's a bare minimum in relationship with God. But ultimately, do I approach the Mass open-hearted to let the cardiologist do his work at Mass? Do I go to confession at least once a year, which is a precept of the Catholic Church? Well, I hope you do. Hopefully even more than that. But if I don't allow my heart to be open to the cardiologist, the divine physician, it will never have its effect. If I'm worried about the precise aspects of liturgy, which we should be concerned about how we offer Mass, because it's how we relate to God. But if I don't let the genuflections and the beating of the breast and all these things actually deepen my contrition and my conversion and my transformation, it's all for nothing. So I think one of the major mistakes of the Pharisees that the Lord is calling out is saying, you are confusing the means and the ends, the instrument and the goal. The laws, the dictates, the rituals, they're all means to the end. They're instruments towards the goal, and the goal is heart transformation. I am relieved that we have such a talented heart surgeon of our Lord who can see into our hearts. We should never be satisfied with externals. As I said, the Pharisees are often depicted as a gospel punching bag, but the more I read the Gospels, the more I identify with the Pharisees and know that my heart needs to be changed. So let's ask our Lord today to do his work in us and in every day of our lives.